It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forsting.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show, where for the past 6 years now, I have been trying to help everyone understand how multifaceted, I guess is a good word, we truly are. So we are physical, obviously. We are emotional. Everybody knows that aspect. We are intellectual, and I hope everybody is learning at least one new thing every single day, either about themselves or the planet we live on or the animals we share space with, but learn something, you know, little, big, learn something every single day. And we are spiritual. And spiritual does not mean religious. It means connecting to a higher power. So when we connect to the grass, to the animals around us, to our trees, to every living thing, we are vibrational frequencies and they are as well. And so we are connecting to their frequency. We are sharing our energy and space with them. So we keep those four aspects of who we are in balance. And the way we do that is kind of looking at our lives and seeing which one maybe is out of balance. So I bring a variety of guests on and have for 6 years that hopefully stabilize or help you identify an area that needs a little more stability. And I'm going to be introducing a new guest today by the name of Barbara Guth. And Barbara is going to be talking about consciousness in, as it relates to finance. And I think most women in particular, but probably a lot of men, need to hear this and understand the importance of bringing consciousness into your financial life. Before I get started, a couple of things. One is the website is synergyconnectionradio.com. All of the shows are archived there. There's over 400. If you look under show notes, I don't even know exactly how many pages there are now of shows, but each one has a synopsis. So you can kind of scroll through. You can look at who the person is, maybe read a couple paragraphs about what the show's all about, and decide whether that's a show that you need to listen to. Most of the shows are around 35 minutes long, a couple of them a little shorter, a couple of them a little longer. I also have my guest more than once. So Barbara will be back on several other shows, probably about three or four more. And because I believe that what each guest is bringing to the show can't be covered in just one show. You know, they are amazing individuals that have a wealth of knowledge, and to condense all of that into 35 minutes would be silly. So I just bring them on back and they can continue where they left off, or they can bring in some other aspect of what they want to share. Also on the website, there is a link to Boomers Forever Young. This is a company I've been using their products for 8 years now. And the newest product is the one that I'm talking about the most now because it is just so incredibly amazing. It's called Myotrol. So it's M as in Mary, Y as in yellow, O as in Oscar, T as in Tom, R as in Ralph, O as in Oscar, L as in Lucky. And you'll be lucky if you actually begin to use this product. I went on it last March and I'm over the age of 50. There are times that I do 9 and 10 hour days and I was getting a little more tired. And I just thought, well, okay, you know, maybe I need to bump up, you know, one of my supplements because guess what? I'm not on any medication whatsoever. And I do talk to people about reverse aging. But in this case, the Myotrol, when I started taking it, it was just phenomenal because I had more stamina than I've ever had in my life. I could go from kind of being sedentary in front of the computer to going on a 5 mile walk. And, you know, wasn't tired. I just simply wasn't tired. So it does rebuild muscle. It does give stamina. But I'm going to give you two things I just recently heard about what it's doing for other people. And I mentioned one of these to Barbara just as we were getting started. And that is a man who has Parkinson's disease. He's had it for quite a while. And his wife was telling me that when he is using, now that he's using the Myotrol, he can walk down the hallway without holding on to the walls. And she said that was just utterly amazing to her. Will it cure his Parkinson's? Probably not. Will it give him a higher quality of life? Absolutely yes. And if she can enjoy her time with him and he can enjoy his time here, that's a wonderful blessing. So that's one story. Another one was a gal who was diagnosed 20 years ago with fibromyalgia. And she started using Myotrol, and within 2 weeks, she no longer had any symptoms. So it is adjusting something biochemically in the body that may be a trace mineral, maybe something that, doctors aren't able to quite see that's not quite right with your blood, but it's doing something that is reversing autoimmune. We have people that have Lyme's disease, and there's no cure for Lyme's disease, and they are getting better. And so I would encourage you, if you know somebody with an autoimmune disorder, if you know somebody that has no stamina anymore, no energy anymore, tell them about Myotrol. Let them try it because it's a 60-day money-back guarantee with this company. And if you use my first name, Lucy, they have a discount code box. If you just put my name in there, the company lets me offer 15% off. So you'll get a 15% discount by putting in my first name. If you do that each and every time, or if you decide to put it on auto ship because you want to take it monthly, you'll get a discount that way too. So please look into it. If you go to their website, go to that link, and then read about Myotrol. Read about all the testimonies. There's videos there with the inventor, and you'll be able to hear from his mouth why he decided that this was something he wanted to create. And he has worked on it for 7 years before bringing it out to the market. So I just encourage you, I'm all about health. And if you are not healthy, it's hard to do the other three. If you don't have energy, you don't have stamina, or you're fighting some maybe chronic illness, it's very difficult to get the spiritual part of your life going, the intellectual part of your life going. Because you're all stopped in the physical and in the emotional, because it's very depressing to have chronic illnesses. Okay, so I'm going to be bringing Barbara on now, and we're going to be talking about this consciousness of, using consciousness in finance. And I'll just share with you that Barbara has spent, I don't know whether it's more than 20 years, Barbara, but when I was reading, I saw this number. So, 20 years trying to understand the mechanisms that prevent us on our planet from achieving peace and stability. That's a long time to be looking at why aren't we a peaceful place? Because we're not. And you said much of the instability began in 1919 due to the creation of centralized power dynamics through investment policies coupled with the venture capital model. And so that's kind of the, I guess, platform that we're going to jump from a little bit, is looking at why do we do finances the way we do them, and how can we do them better? Because obviously we're not doing a very good job. And I know I wrote a book a number of years ago, and the reason that I actually formed my own publishing company and then brought my book out of that publishing company was I would have given away all my rights if I had gone with a traditional publishing house. And if it ever does come, which I still feel like it might come into maybe being a Disney movie or something like that. If it were, I would have given away everything, and I wouldn't be able to go back and say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to give that part away, because you give it all away. So let's start with how do you bring consciousness, into finance? How does that work?
Well, it's such a great topic. And Lucy, I'm so appreciative of having the opportunity to speak with you, first of all, because I've been looking forward to this kind of conversation for quite some time. Because although the milieu is finance, it's really about a shift in consciousness. And so that's a key thing. And until you, everybody wants to make change in this sector, but until you understand what the drivers are that are so insidious, no one sees them anymore, right? And
Right.
until you understand that, you really can't go about shifting anything. So that was really important for me. And I went backed into this whole thing quite unexpectedly because I had a very different goal at the time to protect a French quantum physicist because he was bringing really sacred technology to the planet. And I realized because I came from the entrepreneurial world, the venture capital world, and I've watched this dynamic transpire. And he didn't want to use a venture model. And I thought, well, how am I going to get this done in a way that's going to actually honor him? And I realized there really was no institutionalized way for that to happen. Okay. And so, but it led down a very deep rabbit hole. And you mentioned that in the beginning. Because as I reverse engineered this whole thing, I really got a download. I got a it was a grace-filled download over days when I had been praying about this for 2 years about how to resolve this problem. And then I just started reverse engineering, and when I did get to that really understanding, my goodness, we've set up a system that's just taken for granted, and that's, people are looking at the stock market in that part of the world. And when you look at that, the primary drivers of that we're not conscious about, really, we just accept as how it is what drives that is fear and greed. Okay. And then that leads to chaos. And it's like, wait a minute, this is totally accepted. Like, this is a normal thing. Like, this is the ideal thing for humanity. And yet it leads to chaos and all of our disruption throughout the centuries. Implosions of civilizations have continued always around this similar issue, right? And these unbalanced power dynamics that result from all of that. And so it was really important to understand, wow, so we've accepted those two things, greed and fear, as our primary drivers, and expect that to serve our world. And it's like, how do we get to that point? Who designed that? And really, as we sit back now, consciously, real time now, it's like, where are the adults in the room? I mean, is this how we want to co-create our future together? And the beauty of this moment, which I see as a profoundly alchemical moment, is really that we have the ability now to consciously look at what we've done, what we've been doing without realizing it. Everybody's to blame and everybody's not to blame in a certain way, but it's happened, So we're in a place now where we can actually, as a lot of things are going to be shifting in very dramatic ways, we have a real opportunity to consciously transmute and create a system that actually serves us. And what, when I talk about this platform, it's really based on love. Watch people respond to that in various ways, But it's interesting. Greed and fear, no problem. That's how it all rolls. But love, oh, come on now, please, And it's like, wait a minute, everything in the world is operating on love. Everybody wants love. Everything, co-creation happens through love. So why are we not institutionalizing that as an energetic in our financial systems and structures, right? So I think the first step in that is realizing, wow, we're part of this whole system we've accepted, which very, very low vibratory levels, greed and fear. It's what kind of positive outcome are you going to have with that? And we're looking at it again and again and again. And so I love this opportunity right now, as diff uncomfortable as it is and difficult as it is, we have a moment to truly transmute if we understand what are the drivers, what are the tools, and how do we change the tools. And so that's what I focused on in these last 8 years of the 23, really, that this has been this journey for me. So, yeah.
You know what I was thinking when you said, the love piece. I think personally that when people think of love, they think of vulnerability. And so if you love something, then you're somehow vulnerable because you can lose it. You know, through death, you can lose it through separation, you can lose it through choice. But I mean, if everything that we love goes away at some point in time. And so greed holding on, is a power thing. I don't want to give vulnerability a piece of this action. I want to make sure that because I'm afraid I would lose, that I'm in power, I'm in control.
It's fear-based. And if we're wanting, everybody's talking about the golden age. Well, I don't think fear-based would be the premise that I would start with. And again, we have the beauty now to really co-create together. I'm so excited about this moment, as like I said, as challenging as it is. it's such an opportunity to really come together as a collective and have a conversation about like how do we want to design our future? If the old one's imploding, what do we want to bring to this planet? How do we want to exist on this planet in concert with this planet and with each other? And there are drivers that drive that, you know? It's just once you see that, wow.
Yeah, that's true. Another thing that's kind of fascinating to me right now is we had all the fires in a very, very expensive area of California. And we've had, of course, tons, the people that live on the coast of Florida. Also, with the last year of hurricanes, we had two hurricanes and we had Tropical Storm Debby, and all three of those particular storms did massive damage. And yet, we have all of these kind of grassroots people that are coming together out of love and out of support because the powers that be that control things are not helping.
You know, and I lived that personally. I was down at Ground Zero during 9/11, and I ended up volunteering with the National Guard. So I was at the center of that scenario, along with thousands of others. But I was brought in basically to do search and rescue, and we realized that that wasn't going to be needed, which was devastating all in its own. But as that transpired, what then I was moved to help bring in supplies and work with people from around the world, and the love pouring in at that time was so profound. It marked me for life. And I thought, wow, that's the true nobility of humanity. Whatever transpires between us, you know, certain scenarios have arisen that drive, allow these things to transpire, but our response is love. I lived it live and it really blew me away. And I thought, wow, that's the power of humanity right there. So how do we actually take that and catalyze that and embody that in a financial structure, which nobody had really talked about. You know, people look at fixing things through, you know, regulatory issues and forcing this and that. And it's like, why don't actually we inspire a different way of being and provide a tool that is actually embodying higher values that have been basically spoken of through by most traditions, spiritual traditions, throughout the centuries. And
How
you
do
get a
we
sign of
begin
that.
to do, yeah, how do we begin to do that?
Yeah, so that's where I mean, that's when I this happened for me, and I realized, oh, this structure has, I'm surprised nobody's done it before. And then I really, like I said, was reverse engineering it, and it's called the Sovereign Revenue Trust Entity, and it's more about each of those. I had to fight for that with each of those terms with the trade, what do you call it, the trademark office, and but because each of those things are an essential theme to rebuilding the new world. And so sovereignty is key. I mean, you realize that's everywhere. And I did all this back in 2017, 18, something like that. But sovereignty and building trust, revenue is through the structure through which it will transpire. Trust is to actually rebuild trust that we can actually build structures that are solid, built on a different, again, a different vibratory level. And so it's a financial entity, which is what they call it in that world. But it's a structure that really has quantum. I mean, you and I have spoken before, Lucy, about the quantum experiences both you and I have had. We both worked with spiritually evolved individuals, quantum physicists, both of us from different parts of the world. And I learned a tremendous amount from that, and understanding so many things in the non-visible world that drive everything. And when you can actually use that and embody that into a new financial structure, and it's a patent pending structure that I created, to actually then engage entrepreneurial finance. Because what we don't understand is, and we haven't touched on this quite yet, but one of these whole keys of this, I would say, corruptive dynamic in finances is right at the beginning in the inception of a new technology. And I don't know, I don't think most people, unless you're involved in this kind of world, you don't realize when you take venture capital money as an inventor, the structure for these since the 70s has been a sellout. You are forced to either go public or get acquired. Your ability to stay sovereign is off the table the minute you take that first dime. So you've conceived something and you're not even out of the womb yet, and it's already corrupted. And the implications for that are profound for humanity when you think about that over, you know, hundreds of years, right? with the original policies that drive investor primacy and fiduciary responsibility, which is only concerned about investor return. And there's nothing wrong with a good high investor return, but you can't do it at the cost of the original intention or the
So I have
original.
a question for you, and maybe you can answer this and maybe you can't, but it popped into my head just as you were saying that, so I'm going to go with it. So I've heard that we've had a cure for cancer, for instance, for a very long time. However, the person that created that or persons that created that information was acquired and then buried
That is
because,
not
I'm
uncommon
sorry.
all the time. You know, when
Yeah.
you think about what our world would have been if Tesla would have had been able to actually achieve his goal and fulfill his mission, his vision, that was in the 30s, okay? And JP Morgan decided that that wasn't in his financial interest for that to come out. And so, what imagine if we had had free energy back in the 30s, where we would be as a civilization. I mean, the implications are so off the charts, and that is what needs to change. And the secret to this whole thing is in the entrepreneurial sector. It's not in, you know, you can change these other pieces of the puzzle, but nobody had really addressed this entrepreneurial piece. And that's like the initial insidious kernel. If that's wrong, you're already sold out, and you're never going to achieve the full intention of what was intended. You know, I have this very strong spiritual background and belief, and so I've always understood that the divine, and we're co-creating with the divine and with each other, and that has to be honored and held in a place of sacred space. And when you do that, you know, I don't, if we change our the way we actually engage and invest and support each other, if we do it from a place of honor and respect and love of creation, we will co-create a different world, and we're going to do it together. It's not through me, it's not through any one person. It's going to be all of us deciding, you know what? I don't want to play this old game before because it's not in my interest. It's not in the planet's interest. It's not in my children's interest. So what do we do? And so it's a great opportunity. I really am so enthusiastic about this particular moment because I feel very much we're at a turning point, and we have a real, it's a real choice point. And I think when people really see what the truth is on the table that really hasn't been visible before. Once you see that, it's like, well, I can't go back to not seeing that, and I want to choose differently. But you needed a tool to be able to ensure that that happens. So that's why the Sovereign Revenue Trust Entity, the SRTE, was created, the platform. Yeah.
So, if somebody wanted to know the maybe first and second step for liberating themselves, what would that be? What would it look like?
Well, it's two-pronged, right? I mean, the first one is your internal process, which is, you know, how do you define yourself? Are you defining your value and your worth through your financial abilities, your financial resources, how much money you have, all the stuff you have, you know? So that's a very deep internal process. But the second one again is really becoming aware. It's like, wow, if I want to, and again, my world is the investor world and the entrepreneurial inventor innovator world. So I'm speaking particularly from that. But the more people that can understand this whole thing and realize the whole big picture, the how it impacts everybody, really becoming educated about that is really helpful because then the choices become really evident. It's so self-evident because really, if you think about it, over the last 100 years, you know, the model's been more merger acquisition, right? Through the venture capital model, which it has its true benefits, it truly does. But there were some things that got corrupted within that, like everything, right? And so, as you redirect that, you're. Let me put it this way: the more you continue over time to do merger acquisition, you are moving towards centralized power. So you don't. That is not good for free will, human freedom, none of that. So you
No.
need have a way to actually decentralize. You know, that's one of the goals of cryptocurrency, right? It's theoretically decentralized power and transparency. You know, those are lots of challenges in that sector at the moment. And so I think, first of all, realizing your question is, do you want a different world? I mean, really getting clear about that and realizing, well, how can I participate in that? And one way, and the venue that I'm operating in is in the entrepreneurial world. So the investment world. And so you make choices that actually ensure that a system honors the inventor and their free will, because that's been taken away generally. That's really, I mean, people don't realize that. We live as citizens in the United States, as an example, when our freedom is theoretically guaranteed with the Constitution, but that's taken away in the entrepreneurial sector when you have an invention, and that needs corrected, and that's not okay.
And it's
And
taken away because the powers that be that are financing it are taking it away.
no, it's not the powers that be, it's the structures that have been set up, but without any of our input, 100 years ago in 1919, those drivers drive it. So when we sit back and say, okay, let's start at ground zero, what do we want to do here? If we have creation and we have all this innovation coming in to humanity, do we want it to be able to express itself fully on the planet, or is it just about making a buck, And so that's a choice point individually, right? And you can make a buck, but again, it can't be at the complete corruptive soul. The corruptive soul of that can't supersede the original intention. And so those are all choices. It's about all of us really stepping up and seeing this and realizing we have a responsibility, each one of us, to say no to the old system. I'm providing a tool to enable that to happen. But there's a lot of thought around this about how to shift these dynamics. And for me, I realized the tool needed to happen. And then through that, people can invest and then reclaiming their power through that by not only supporting through love and intention to actually make sure that that inventor, their vision is honored, but at the same time you're simultaneously reducing the feeder and the driver of centralized power, which is in no one's interest, because you lead to incredible power imbalances, and that leads to war, that leads to chaos, that leads to all the things we really don't want. So it's all intertwined, but it really starts with.
Okay. So I'm going to ask another kind of question, I guess, because I'm hearing multiple things inside my own head. I'm going to look at Native Americans for a minute. So a lot of the power was taken away from Native Americans, hundreds of years ago now. And little by little, they're taking their power back. Acquiring land that was once theirs to begin with. But I saw a YouTube video not very long ago, and that one of the speckled trouts, that was becoming endangered, they basically were told, no, it's going to be an endangered species, don't worry about it. But they took it upon themselves to take and harvest the eggs, incubate them, and release them into a stream that was healthy because the stream they were in was polluted, and that's what was killing them. And now these fish have made a total comeback. They've done it with the buffalo, obviously, with the herds, because at one point, about what, 100 years, no, not even that. I don't know how many years ago, I'm going to say 50 to 100 years ago, they were on the brink of extinction too. And mostly Native Americans have brought them all back. And there's herds of buffalo roaming all over the place. Ted Turner, of course, has a lot on his massive land territories that, that he's bought up over the years. So we do have individuals either as groups of people like Native American tribes or individuals like Ted Turner that had tons and tons of resources financially that could turn things around. But the average Joe that's in his garage inventing something and wants to bring it to market and, basically has no funding of, I mean, he doesn't personally have funding. How does he or she go about bringing something that can help humanity without losing their control over it, where it's taken away and buried, like maybe our cancer cures have been buried because the pharmaceutical companies would not have risen to the power that they have today if we had these different cures. I guess that's my question is how do you go about giving that female or male that has a wonderful idea the ability to protect it and bring it forward without somebody saying, if I'm going to put $100 million into this, I want to control it.
Well, that's the number one question, right? Because it's very hard to get funding in a way where you can still keep your sovereignty of your vision. That's the
Yes.
key. I mean, really, it's been an innovation on my part to be able to do this. And this was God given to me, so I'm very clear about that. But you find a structure that will keep your your priorities and your goals and your mission as its in primary intention. And so that happens through the structure. That's the structure. It's the same thing. It keeps going back to the same thing because anything that's new, it's high risk, so it's not something that banks want to support. And so, there is a trade-off for high risk scenarios, but you also need a structure that can actually enable that to happen. So raising money through my platform is, I mean, that's what I'm doing, and I can't speak to others. Others are trying to do various scenarios, but there's a lot of regulation in that, and I suppose mine, in a certain way, it's a really a manifesto that as I participate in this as an investor, and an inventor chooses this, they choose to have their freedom protected. That's their choice. Okay, that has to come from the inventor. So I'm really provided this tool as a means to empower the inventors, but then the investors too have to decide, if they do want a different kind of world, they want something that actually has, short-term and long-term benefits. And so that's what the structure is that I created. But there's really never been, I mean, I've done several podcasts, and the first one I did with a particular gentleman, I had a whole lot of inventors reach out to me from around the world, and they said this was the first time they really, anybody actually considered them in this whole financial scenario. I mean, I heard that. I was really surprised, and that it was the first. And so I had a lot of really powerful feedback, people that want to use the platform. I'm still getting funding myself, so I'm in the process. I've lived all of this very live, and I've gotten to really experience what it's like to, there's people that want to come in and invest, but they're the wrong people. They want to take a different direction. They may want to solve it. They want
I
to do.
put my money in, then I want to tell you where to go with it.
Yeah, and I lived that live. I just walked away from $1 million in investment offer, this initial investment, and the intentionality was not correct, and so I can't dishonor that. So I've lived all of this very live, and there's a trade-off for that. It's a challenge, and so what I'm trying to do is the more we can educate people about, okay, here's how we got into this place in the first place, how we got in this whole scenario. If we can start unraveling this whole thing, we do it together, and we make choices real time together. Inventors, particularly the ones, I mean, there's all kinds of inventors out there, and the one there are some that are bringing truly sacred stuff that hit multiple sectors at once. Those technologies are critically important that they stay pure and are able to manifest what was intended to happen for us here on the planet. And so those people in particular really like what I'm doing here, because my goal is to protect them and their creation. And I let allow them to choose whatever, however they want to structure themselves within their dynamic. But it's a not a forced equity play where you have to have an exit and you get acquired or you go public. It's not that scenario. So
So, Barbara, because our show is almost up for today. How so people can contact you. I know I've got your name and your email address and everything else for them to reach you. I don't want to put a phone number down for you because you could be inundated by all kinds of things that you don't want. But your particular vehicle, is it available for people to plug into? Is it available for people to purchase? How does that kind of work, or can you explain that in like 1 or 2 minutes?
just tell you quickly, I mean, basically, I'm in the process myself of getting funded, and I'm living this just like any inventor. And so, finding the right investors has been key. And so, that's been a process. And when that's complete, I've got my whole team that came on as a result of these other various podcasts where people that have awakened in finance are very interested in shifting this whole sector.
Awesome.
Yeah, so that's been profound. I mean, really profoundly capable people. With a very high level of consciousness. So that's so heartening to me. And so as I'm getting my finance, once I get off the ground here, then I'll be going to be going very public in a particular way to let people know that this is out there as another alternative, as an alternative to the stock market or as an alternative to the venture capital model. So it's really in its birthing phase, and I'm very transparent about that because I think that's really important right now, as we watch all the
That we were talking about in the beginning is where you are. You're about to come out as a beautiful butterfly.
out of the cocoon. And so, sticking that beak and hitting that beak, what is it, your shell with the beak,
Yeah.
I'm too. But boy, the feedback has been profound. It has been profound. And so I know that more and more people are ready for this because we can't continue as we have been. We can't. It's not
No,
sustainable.
no,
And so,
no,
yeah,
that's.
people can reach out to me simply. I'm on LinkedIn, and I have a two links. One is the evolution of finance, and the other is sagesse, SRTE. Sagesse is the French word for wisdom, SAGESSE, SRTE, sagesse, SRTE.com. And they can look at those two things and reach out to me. There's means to reach out to me there. So, Lucy, I'm so appreciative of your interest and your time with this because it really is an area that people have not looked at to the degree in this particular way in this particular sector. So it's something that's a new angle on things, I guess you could say.
And we need one right now, probably more than ever before.
It's time.
It's time. All right. Thank you for being on the show. And we will definitely be having you back. There will be at least three more and maybe four more if you have availability, depending on, how your time also works. And please, everybody, share this with individuals that you know that maybe are thinking about the entrepreneurial adventure of something that they want to create, or they've got ready to go forward, but they just don't know how to do it. Reach out maybe to Barbara, and her guidance and wisdom might help you maintain, the integrity of whatever it is that you have that you want to bring forth. And otherwise, we will be back again next week, and have a beautiful, beautiful day. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Boomers Forever Young is really making a name for themselves as an exciting nutritional company with products that really work. People from all over the country are starting to take notice. Their whole person approach to health and wellness, combined with their unique array of powerful natural health products, are setting them apart from all the other companies in the nutrition industry. Their customers love the one-on-one free consultations and the results they experience. Sound a little too good to be true? Then go online to boomerboost.com today and sign up for a free consultation with a product specialist, or just give us a call at 1-800-861-4609. Again, that's boomerboost.com, or call 1-800-861-4609 to join the thousands already experiencing the benefits of Boomers Forever Young products.